Hello, lovers.
My name is Alex.
And I'm Helena.
And you are listening to Generation Loveless,
a weekly podcast where we discuss the trials and tribulations of love in an internet-obsessed world.
We share our stories of bad Tinder dates, sexual awakenings, self-care, heartbreak and healing, and everything in between. So join us on this roller coaster of dating in the millennial age because it is one wild ride.
And we want to hear from you. Send us your stories, questions, and opinions. You can either send us a DM on Instagram at generation.loveless or shoot us an email at generationloveless@gmail.com. All right, let's dive into this week's episode.
Hi, lovers.
Hi, guys.
We missed you.
Today, we want to open up the floor to your questions. We're diving into our DMs to give you our opinion. Just as a disclaimer, these are just our opinions. Obviously, you can take it or leave it, but you should take it.
Yes, you should.
Out of respect for your guys' privacy, we will not be disclosing anyone's names. So if you want to be included in this segment in the future, your anonymity will be protected. At generation.loveless on Instagram, generationloveless@gmail.com. Send us those questions.
Hit us up. So let's dive right in. The first one comes from a male listener in his late 20s. He wrote, I would be interested in a podcast where you discuss your experience with dating men and your feelings around their career. Traditionally, boys and men are taught having a lot of money is extremely important in finding a partner. I would love a younger generation's take on this. Example, humble job that someone is passionate about but not a lot of glam versus a higher paying, flashier, more powerful job, and how that affects attraction and dating.
Thank you for this question. It's actually something that Alex and I have discussed in recent weeks. Yeah, we did. So I wrote a paper on Match.com for one of my communication studies courses, and I was really interested when I kind of created a profile just so I could get a sense of what it was like to be on the website as a user. And Match.com has all of these filters. So you can filter for height, you can filter for, you know, like what color their hair is, all that kind of stuff. I thought it was really, really fascinating. You can filter for someone's salary.
I think that's kind of fucked up, in my opinion.
That was my thought too. I thought it was bizarre, honestly.
Right.
Because you could actually just choose the highest socioeconomic bracket and only go on dates with people from that bracket.
That's so weird.
It's so bizarre to me. So I asked a couple people in my life who actually met on Match.com. I asked them what their take on this was, and I'm just going to read off because this just happens to have happened a couple weeks ago before we even read this question. Right. So it kind of works out perfectly. I'm just going to read off what they said because this is their take. This is not our take. Hold on. Let me just grab it in my phone. Okay, so this is what he said. I think if a guy is uglier but a really good person and makes a lot of money, it does make him seem more attractive for that split-second first-impression nature of the online thing. So yeah, it goes against social convention and makes you think of gold diggers, etc. But there is a counterside to it where it's so looks-based and first-impression-based and very easy to just not give people a chance. So you do have some opportunity to prove yourself, even a little bit, as someone who has their life together with that very small time you have to make an impression. The female perspective in this particular conversation, she said, the salary filter is normal because in real life, that's a big concern for a lot of people. People don't say it, but it's true. A good website will just show you all kinds of different people and make it public. So you just set it up on your own profile so other people can find you.
Yeah, so I like totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But you know, unfortunately, this depends on the person that you're dating. And that's what I would say to this listener. In my opinion, I feel like this is an antiquated gendered view on how the dynamics of a relationship with a man and a woman should be.
Yeah, what I would say to this listener is that both Alex and I are following our passions career-wise. And so...
Right, and it's not based on money. Therefore, you know, we seek the type of person that is like this person reaching out to us.
Exactly. I mean, it would be hypocritical of us to search for a male partner who isn't following his passion but is making a lot of money.
Right.
When that doesn't align with our values. And so that's sort of like what this goes down to, what this person's values are.
Right.
And you need to be aware of that when you're finding a partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
If your partner is really concerned with how much money you make, then their values may be different than yours.
Right, which I actually can think of other people in our lives that aren't, you know, just our example from earlier that are like that. Money is like one of their first values in life.
Yeah. I mean, so, I think that's how I was raised. And I understand why people do it. It's a survival thing. And some people, it's more important that they can live a certain standard, that they can go on vacations, have luxury cars, have big houses. That is important for some people.
I wonder if that's actually super fulfilling, however.
It's not. It's not. So what I would say to that is multiple studies have shown that above the poverty line, happiness levels don't increase.
Right.
Basically proving that above a certain extent, aka poverty, as long as you're out of poverty, your happiness is not going to increase when you make it to the 1%.
Right, or the more cars that you have, or the bigger the house that you have.
Yeah.
You know?
It's cliche, but it's true. Money doesn't buy happiness. And even though we have this very cliche saying, and people kind of know that, I think people get sucked into it.
Yeah. So, you know, I really commend this person for wanting to go after their passion.
Yes.
Because you will find someone that wants to be with you because you're going after your passion.
And because you're you.
Yeah.
And that's all that anyone can hope for.
Mm-hmm.
So keep doing you. We love you. We are happy that you want to go after your dreams.
And thanks for this question, because I feel like, you know, you're definitely not the only one, especially the only guy that has this concern.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that the world and structures have done that to you.
Yeah, I am really sorry as well.
All right, should we go with the second one?
Yeah, let's do our second one.
All right, so this was emailed to us. She says, "Hi guys, firstly I want to say thank you so much for your episode 3. The clit is magical. It really helped me learn that it is okay to advocate for what I want in my sexual life. However, I haven't had the courage to bring it up with my boyfriend. We've been together for 6 months and have fallen into routine-like sex. Unfortunately, this routine does not include my boyfriend going down on me. I feel really awkward bringing it up. Do you have any tips?"
Well, first of all, I would say we totally empathize with that.
Yes.
I've experienced that myself a little bit, and I also have so many friends who have gone through that or are going through that currently. So thank you for this question. So I think that the first thing that we would advise you to do is to try to understand where your partner is coming from. The only way to do that is to have a conversation. We would suggest that this conversation is in a non-sexual context. This is a really important lesson for all of our listeners, by the way.
This is great.
Yeah, just because this is a conversation about sex, that doesn't mean that it should be happening in the heat of the moment.
Right. You don't need to have this conversation between the sheets before you're about to get it on.
Right. In fact, I think that it's wiser to have it beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you first want to tell them that you would really love if they went down on you. This is because you don't know how they are going to respond. Hopefully, he will say back, "Oh my god, yes, I didn't know you were into that. I'd love to do that for you." And if they respond that way, then you're totally in luck and it's an easy fix.
And he's a keeper.
Yes,
also,
he's a keeper.
However, if they get awkward and they don't know how to respond, it's time to explore the underlying reasons. It could be that they're afraid to go down on you, or that they just simply don't know how to. In which case, these can be solved as long as your partner is willing to communicate and practice.
Right.
The worst case scenario, though, is that they ain't about eating that cake.
Ugh.
I think our honest to God opinion with this one, and Alex, let me know if you agree, is just that you really shouldn't be with someone who's not willing to satisfy you sexually.
I totally agree with that.
Right.
I mean, you need, I feel like that's a key component in a relationship, and if someone is not willing to at least try and do that for me, then it's not meant to be. I do have a question about this, though.
Sure.
Like, real talk. What if this guy, say, is into, like, kink?
Okay.
Say he has a spanking fetish, and she is not willing to explore that with him. Therefore, he also isn't getting his sexual needs met.
Okay, well, I'm really glad that you brought that up. So, as I mentioned in episode 3, many women cannot achieve orgasm through penetrative sex, whereas men almost always do.
True. Yep.
So, I believe oral sex on women should be baseline.
Right.
Maybe that's a controversial opinion. I don't think that it fucking should be, but I'm just going to say it as I believe it.
Yeah,
so both parties will achieve orgasm in this, you know, scenario where he's going down on her and they're also having sex, let's say. So baseline needs are met. When people bring this up, I really don't think it's a fair argument, to compare a woman's need of oral sex to a man's desire for kink.
Totally.
That being said, you know, maybe these two aren't compatible and he should find a partner that is into kink. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. We can't compare them, basically. They're, like, unequal.
That's what I believe.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, next question. We got this from our Instagram direct messages. He said, "Hi, ladies. May I say that you are both very beautiful. Winky face."
Thanks, dude.
Thanks. "On the show, can you answer whether or not sliding into a girl's DMs is an acceptable way to let someone know that you are into them?" I think this is acceptable. However, I don't think that it's always going to work. I mean, I have a lot of DMs that I just never answer or even look at.
Yes. No, me too.
But quick funny story. Back in 2010, when I was a freshman in high school in Massachusetts, a random boy from New York messaged me on Facebook saying, I don't know what he said, like that I was really beautiful or something like that. And we had a brief conversation, but I was pretty standoffish towards him. Flash forward to 2014, I was visiting, and now I'm like a freshman or sophomore in college at this point, and I went to visit one of my friends in New York City, and we go to this pregame, this really hot guy shows up, and I was kind of immediately attracted to him, so we started talking, started flirting, and then eventually later on in the night, he admitted to me that he was the one who had slid into my Facebook messages. Yeah.
This is such a crazy
story. It's such a crazy story.
Small world.
So random. So he was that random boy from New York that had slid into my Facebook messages like way back when.
It was fate.
It was. Yeah. It was one of those crazy things where like we were meant to be brought together.
It's like more than a coincidence.
I think so. Anyways, it worked out for him. Yeah. All those years later, if you know what I mean. Shout out to you. You know who you are, bae.
Okay, well, this whole sliding into the DM thing also worked for me, too. Almost too well in my favor. So this guy and I were following each other on Instagram, and he had started following me. I noticed he was liking almost all my photos, and I basically started doing the same thing because from a distance, he seemed, like, pretty cool, pretty artsy, totally my type, and I just had a little inkling about him. So he took the leap of faith and slid into my DMs and said, "How do I know you?" And one thing led to the next, and I was literally booking a ticket to go see him in Chicago.
Yep.
From Boston. Luckily, I realized that this was an incredibly impulsive move on my part and that it takes much more than a few FaceTime dates to, you know, even know if it's worth to go meet a stranger or not. It was one of my crazy year moments.
It was so insane. And after you broke the news to him that you weren't gonna go to Chicago, he went crazy.
Yeah,
he was leaving both of us drunk voicemails. He was like, "Helena, can you just help me understand what's happening with Alex? I thought we had something going." I'm like, "Dude, you don't even know her." You don't even know her.
That was bad. That was really bad.
We realized that some of the insanity and craziness was coming out.
Yeah.
You really reeled it back in, though, after that.
Oh, yeah. Totally. You mean the insanity and crazy on my part?
Yeah
exactly. I didn't mean that. I was very carried away.
It was the fantasy thing.
It was a total fantasy. I mean, especially when you're, like, meeting – well, you're not meeting someone in person, but you're just kind of talking to someone in, like, a very romantic way. It's like sending letters to each other,
well,
but
you know
it's
what?
Through fucking Instagram.
It kind of goes back to what we actually just said. You know how when I was telling the story about Steven and, name drop. And we were like, it was fate. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can get really carried away and be like, it was fate. The stars all aligned.
Yeah, right.
That's not
real.
We
really build up all that shit in our heads.
We do.
Yeah. So anyways, sliding to the DM can have complete success or incredible failure.
Yeah, that's the long and short of
the story.
Of it.
Yeah.
Is that a saying, the long and short of it?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Sometimes I say
real
things and I don't even know where I got them from.
It's okay.
Okay, so this is super fun. We want to do a rapid-fire Q&A type thing so that you can get to know us a little bit better.
Yeah, and our, like, past relationship history or just what we like.
Yeah, so we're just going to try to answer quickly and...
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, want to go back and forth. I'll ask you the first one. We'll just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Ready and go. Have you ever been cheated on?
Not that I know of, but maybe.
Yes, I definitely have been.
Have you ever cheated?
Yes, I definitely have.
Same. referring to my previous story.
What is your biggest turn on?
Oh, I don't have a rapid fire answer to that. Do you?
Wait, is it from like a distance or are we already in bed together? Because I could say really quickly from a distance.
Answer both.
Okay, from a distance, my unfortunate type is...
artsy musician.
Exactly. You like have your nose pierced or something. You're kind of radical and you're fucking hot. And your eyes are so beautiful. What the
fuck? Was that like a Slovakian accent?
It was like a kind of Frenchish.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, your turn.
Biggest turn on...
like from a distance.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
What?
I don't have a singular type. Are you... what is... oh, muscles?
I'm pointing at something.
No, because I don't like super muscular.
Well, me neither, but...
I don't know. I know it when I see it.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I know what you mean. Okay, whatever. Biggest turn on in bed.
Gently, like, kissing my neck, my nipples, like, real, like, slowly caressing my nipples, touching them, licking them. I'm getting so personal.
No, it's great. We've gotten way personal with them in past episodes, so...
Also, when someone is... you know when you're in bed with a guy... and he, the way he looks at you, like, he's just like, oh, fuck. Like, he's just, like, so turned on by you.
Yeah, I love that.
When I see a guy turn on by me, I'm turned on.
Gotcha.
Next.
Wait, I didn't answer it.
Oh, answer.
My.
Rapid fire.
Okay, my biggest turn on in bed is a guy teasing me. I love being teased.
I second that.
I love being teased. Okay.
Have you ever been in love?
I don't know.
Really?
I want to say I have been, but that person was so unhealthy. I was so unhealthy at the time.
So you think that means that you weren't actually in love?
I don't know.
I would say for me...
I do think I was in love. Yeah. I think I'm kind of a little bit bitter about it and sad that it was... I think I was in love, but it was... the person was kind of an illusion because he wasn't actually who he was.
Whoa. Who I thought he was. Same. I've been in love, but same. Exact
right.
Same.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you think you've already met the person you're going to marry?
No. Yes.
I think I have.
I definitely haven't. Okay. Give a 1-minute synopsis of when you lost your virginity.
Boy who was on the Brown football team, older brother of someone that I kind of knew who was also pursuing me, not to sound like a fucking... okay, whatever.
That's funny.
He lit candles, but it wasn't romantic. No foreplay. I was dry, not wet down there. Painful, weird, short, came really fast, awkward, drove home. Never really talked to him. Actually, I had sex with him the next year, but don't talk to him anymore. Bye.
Okay. Mine was also someone I knew, someone I knew.
Older brother?
His older brother.
Really? That's weird. Why did we both have that situation?
I don't know.
Random.
I've always, like, never really gone for people my age. It's just a thing.
Oh, I like people my age. Okay, go on.
I do sometimes. But anyways, virginity. Mom's car at the beach.
Ew. Wait, his mom's car?
Yep. Uh-huh. In the back of his mom's car.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, it was rough. It hurt. I was also really dry.
Yeah.
And it was prom night, but I skipped my prom.
To go fuck?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Oh.
Have you slid into anyone's DMs lately?
No.
Me neither, I don't think.
Okay. How many countries have you had sex in?
America, Ireland. I think that's it. I think two. I've been to other places, but I never slept with anyone there. I've had sex multiple times with multiple people in Ireland.
I definitely hooked up with other people. Like, in the Caribbean, I've hooked up with people. I've not had sex. I had sex with someone in Spain. That was a good time.
Oh, yeah. One, two. America, Spain. Is that it?
I think so.
Cool.
I haven't been to that many country.
I've been with my family, so there weren't that many.
Oh, wait. I've had sex in Canada, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
three.
Okay. Last place that you had sex?
My apartment.
My old apartment. Same.
Funny story about last time I had sex. My cat ate the condom.
Ugh.
And then threw it up. It was horrendous.
That's really lovely,
also,
Helena.
Super unsafe. Yeah. Sorry, Jaspi. Love you.
Okay, what was your longest relationship?
Like a year and some.
Okay.
You?
Can I count the ones that we broke up and then got back together?
Yeah.
Like 3 years. put a gun to my head.
Oh, damn. That's
two people. Freshman to almost senior year of high school, on and off. And then senior year of high school till I was, like, fucking 21. That's serial monogamy.
Yeah, really.
Who's your celebrity crush? Dumb.
I don't know. Go.
Mine's Zayn. Especially with his nose piercing. Mm.
I love nose piercings.
So hot.
I honestly don't fucking know, so I'm going to go on to the next one. Do you have a crush on anyone right now?
Do you?
No, absolutely not.
I do.
I know you do. Okay. Have you had sex with anyone listening to this podcast?
Have you?
Yes.
Just one?
Definitely. One that I know of?
True. That's true. We don't know everyone. I can think of at least two people I've had sex with who have listened to this podcast.
Okay.
Probably more.
Yep.
Are you friends with any of your exes?
Yes. I am, like, very successfully good friends with one of my exes, and I'm very grateful for that. How about you?
My exes and I do not speak and are blocked on social media. Cool. So, total opposite. Love you guys. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, I can relate to that on every other ex I have.
Right.
Okay, give a 1-minute synopsis of the best sex you've ever had.
You go first.
Okay. So fucking juicy. Mm. Lasted, like, all night long. Mm. So many orgasms.
Damn.
Lots of shower sex. Lots of, like, being held up in the shower.
Whoa. Ugh, strength.
God.
Strength. Dignity.
It was the hottest thing ever. There was music. Just, like, everything was happening. Candles.
Wow. I don't know. I've had a lot of good sex, to be honest. I've had multiple guys that I've had sex with who it went really well, and shout out to them. Love you guys.
Yeah.
I'm lucky in that regard.
Yeah, you are. Well, you've been good about choosing partners.
Sometimes.
I'm now getting good. I've been learning how to get good in that.
I've been good at choosing partners with sexual compatibility.
True.
That's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
Cool. That was our little rapid fire. Did you guys like that? Can you honestly give us feedback on that? Because I don't know if you guys want more of that in the future. It's kind of fun for us. But let us know if you're interested in that. And also, we're going to be doing another dating advice segment. So email or DM us your questions.
Yeah, we really like hearing from you. And thank you again to the people that reached out to us and asked, you know, those questions. I really enjoyed answering them.
I really did too. It was a lot of fun.
So please keep them coming.
Okay, guys. Love you. See you next week.
We love you.